views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, my guest is Tammy Leitzel, a wonderful woman who I've had on my show twice already, and I quite simply can't get enough of her. So I've invited her back again. On the first show, Tammy and I talked about shame and sexuality as it applies to our daughters. And on the second, we went deeper into owning and operating your body and how that allows you to reconnect with the vibrant and powerful person you're meant to be. Tammy is a sensuality expert and empowerment coach who helps women regain their confidence and sense of self-worth after relationship or sexual trauma. She teaches sensual self-expression in a safe and playful manner and has helped thousands of women shed the past, leading them to feel greater levels of empowerment and self-expression. Today, Tammy is back to talk about how a woman can be godly and sensual at the same time. Happy New Year, Tammy, and welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you, Debbie. So glad to be here.
It's always such a treat.
I agree, ditto.
So I think that we should probably start by giving people a little bit of a refresher of your background, specifically your upbringing, so that they understand where you're coming from on the show today.
Sure. And I love this because I want you to be able to see, the listener, that I am so much like you. I was raised as a Mennonite in central Pennsylvania. Now, if you don't know what Mennonite is, it's a lot like Amish, but the key is it's a very strong patriarchal community. As a girl, I was taught from a very young age that it was my role to cook, clean, and have babies and to do what the man in my life told me to do, whether that was my father at the time and then eventually my husband.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Being who I am today. So how did your background as a Mennonite shape your current beliefs about female empowerment?
Well, I had a very close relationship, especially with my grandparents. And I saw in that older generation, especially of the women, that they were exactly what the culture expected. And while they handled the pressures pretty well, I could tell that they had to shut down a certain part of themselves in order to conform to what we called the order of things. And if I can, just a short example, I remember one day in church, I was sitting between my grandparents during the sermon. And when the preacher started talking about how women should obey their men from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And I felt my grandmother's body just tighten up, and she was obviously uncomfortable. And then on the other side, I looked to my grandfather, who was actually, he seemed sort of sickeningly or almost sinfully smug while it was being said. And as a child, I just instinctively knew that it was wrong. And I loved my pop-pop so much. Like I idolized him. So this was a very odd feeling to me. But I could feel the weight of that, the words that he was saying and how it felt like control, even at such a young age. And I remember under my breath, I made a promise to my grandmother that I would say and do for her the things that she could not do for herself. Mm-hmm. It was a day that changed me for sure.
Wow. And how old would you have been?
I think I was only 5 or 6. I was not old. But children are so wise and they pick up on this kind of stuff quickly and without the filters that the unhealthy filters that we pick up over time.
Well, and especially when it's their path.
Right.
I mean, this
Thank
is
you for saying that.
Well, that's what you're here to do, right? Oh, I have goosebumps just listening to it. But, you know, and there's one little thing that I should say in there. I mean, you said about your grandfather looking kind of smug. But imagine being raised from young to also be given this message that, look, women aren't able to do this. They shouldn't, you know, they can't do this. The mm-hmm. Bible even says they can't do this. Mm-hmm. You better have the answers. You better know how to look
That's
after everyone.
Certainly.
Yeah, on both sides.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah, and that's what's funny. Maybe my story didn't emphasize it. Like, I had never seen that side of him. Like, I consider him my number one mentor. Like, for as much as I'm outspoken and how I made that promise to my grandmother, he was the man who actually said to me, if you're uncomfortable or angry about a situation, you probably just don't know enough about it yet.
Right.
He taught me to stay curious, not to shut down.
Nice. So doing what he could, right,
yeah,
to keep you awake and well, on your path, not even really knowing that that was your path.
Exactly.
Nice. You know, I think these last couple years, but especially this last year, and now as we move into 2019, I really think that there has been such a big shift and that women are starting to really awaken to what's going on around them and recognize that, okay, yes, we have been conforming. We've needed to conform. It's been a survival thing. Some of us in past lives, you know, have maybe been burnt at the stake or whatever. And now we're starting to really realize, I can't do this anymore. I do have to change things. I do have to speak up.
And we want to do it as women. We don't want to be angry, bitter shrews. So we are really seeking for answers.
Yes. You know, you mentioned to me before about really being thankful for the women that came before us that did conform, you know, did what they needed to do to survive so that we could eventually get here and be ready to start making changes. And I think that is such a big thing for women to embrace and to recognize. This isn't about saying, Grandma, why didn't you speak up?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about staying humble. Because I've spoke about my grandparents. My mother, I felt like she didn't give me quite as strong messages. She was processing in her way that she could, but I also took away many messages from her. So my grandmother conformed to a very strong extent to what the order wanted in the Mennonite culture.
Right.
My mother, not quite so much. And then I got to shift a little bit more and do what I'm doing.
Yes.
We each learn from the next generation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we even inherit some of that. There's some cellular memory that comes into play there.
That is so intriguing.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I love it. Okay. So how can someone be godly and own her own body, including being sensual? How does she do both of those things? Can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah, sure. It's a sticky wicket, to be sure. And I've thought long and hard about it. And I expect a healthy dialogue about it. Like, I don't think that I am the only answer out there. But I'm going to share with you what I believe.
Okay.
And one of the ways is first by challenging assumptions. And that is that sensuality is bad or inherently something that is designed to make men fall. Like, I don't believe that you as a woman getting in touch with your sensuality is there so that you can control others. I think it's actually our feminine life force. Like, it's actually what we require to birth children into this world. So I think it's our right, and in fact, our calling. Like, we have to somehow find a way to get in touch with our sensuality in our body. Now, how do we do that on a practical level? One of the ways is, the most obvious way is the way we dress. Mm-hmm. So, as a woman, you have the great opportunity at this point in our life to own many different kinds of clothing, and you get to experience and try on various things. And one of the ways that you can respect yourself and be godly at the same time as being sensual inside is to know when it's appropriate to wear particular things. For example, the things I wear on a Friday night when I'm going out with a girlfriends mm-hmm. are obviously not the things I'm going to wear when I go to church on Sunday. Right. It's not the things I'm going to go when I work, you know, the same things I'm going to wear when I work.
Mm-hmm. Or even if you were going out with your kids, you're going
totally,
them
yes.
to a movie, you're going to dress differently than you would with your girlfriends.
Exactly. So one of the biggest things, one of the biggest pieces of feedback I get when someone says, I read your stuff online or I learned about you, when they meet me, they're like, oh, but you dress so conservatively. I would have expected you to be like very much, so I guess they expect me to be flaunting my sensuality. That is not me at all.
Right.
And the reason why is because you have to know how the world views you. And I don't want to be judged immediately when I meet someone. And I don't want to have a hurdle to get over. I'm already talking about subjects that are uncomfortable to some people. Why would I want to bring another level to that? So it's just one layer of what I consider respect to myself and respect to the other people that I want to touch their lives and maybe teach them something.
Right. I love that. I mean, I'm an introvert and a lot of people are surprised by that because I'm a speaker, I run programs, I do podcasts. I have to really push myself to do those things. And so the last thing that I want to do really is to dress in a way that I become the center of attention mm-hmm. everywhere I go. I mean, don't get me wrong, it feels really good to dress up and to be noticed and to have people tell you you look awesome or whatever. That feels really nice, but I don't want to be
exactly
the center of attention. Other people, though, I see them walk in and they've got this flamboyant dress or flamboyant hair, usually both, you know, mm-hmm. and I think, wow, I love that they're doing that, that they feel good doing that and they're comfortable being
exactly.
in the spotlight. Yeah.
And I love that because you just defined exactly what you can do to be godly and sensual as a woman around dress. Number one, you don't judge other women for what they wear. Mm. Because if it does, it might not feel sensual and godly to you, but who knows what her nationality is, what her background is. It may, in fact, feel godly and sensual to her. Number two, go speak up when other people, when you hear someone being judgmental, say, hey, I don't want to talk that way. Please don't, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to be judgmental. And number three is just what we talked about. Determine where you lie on the scale and use your comfort level.
Right. And know that that's going to change on a regular basis, right?
Right.
Like if yeah. you're, I mean, obviously there's going to be times where you're going to wear something and you might think, oh, okay, this was not perfectly appropriate. In fact, can I share a quick little story?
Sure.
A few years ago, it's actually quite a few years ago now, we had a family wedding and it was out in British Columbia, Canada, and it was going to be during the summer in August, beautiful weather. And I was in a little store at my cabin and I found this dress and it was a cute little dress. And I thought, oh, this would be perfect. So I tried it on. It fit nice. I had a girlfriend there. She said, oh, it looks fantastic. It's perfect. So I got this little dress and I took it and I get to BC. Now this is months later, really. Mm-hmm. And I put on the dress and you know how our bodies will shift and change. And it no longer fit the way it fit when I had tried it on in the store. And I thought it was a little clingy, a little tight in the belly. And it was too short on top of it all. But I think it was just because of the way it fit now that it felt too short. I was so ill at ease. And then to top it all off, it was a cooler day. Little dress. And I remember thinking, okay, Debbie, you chose this. It's kind of like the you made your bed, now lie in it kind of thing. But I remember thinking, okay, never again. Like always have a couple choices, knowing that how you feel in this moment might not be how you feel in that moment. So allow yourself to be you in that moment in time. So
and forgive yourself. I mean, like, because you could have easily gone down the whole criticize your body and your choices. We make mistakes. Move on. Learn from it.
And then don't sit on the grass. It's far too short to sit down on the grass. I learned that too. All right. Okay. So besides dress, what else can we do?
Okay. Now we're getting into, this is a topic that I'd love to talk about, and we probably need even more time, but being quote unquote submissive in the bedroom.
Do tell.
I just want to say this. What I'm about to say absolutely does not apply if you're in an abusive relationship. If you're being abused, find support, create a safety plan, and get out as soon as you possibly can. Mm. And I also think what I'm about to say, it doesn't apply if you have actual physical pain during sex. If you have physical pain during sex, find a doctor and keep looking for one that until you find one that actually listens to you and takes you seriously about physical pain. Mm-hmm. But if you are in, so the rest of us who are with, you're possibly in a frustrating in the bedroom, but otherwise respectful and healthy relationship, I want to say I'm a huge fan of saying yes to your husband, even if you are not in the mood, because I find it to be a loving act of kindness. Mm. It's such an important thing for women to understand and to take back the joy of sexuality and sensuality with your partner. This is where I think we are trained, and it's these patriarchal structures like that of the Mennonite church. We are trained so much to be quote unquote good girls that we lose that part of us that can actually be receptive and accepting of that side of ourselves.
Yes.
It's important to take back that joy. And here's the thing. When you treat it like a duty, which is what those kind of structures teach you it is,
right?
Of course, you feel like you're a marionette on a string that's being pulled by your spouse. It's like it skews the power dynamic and it makes it feel terrible. It feels like you're at their beck and call. Mm-hmm. And it does not have to be like that. Our relationships are actually mini negotiations all throughout the day. You can learn the skill of being able to surrender and be receptive. And yes, I started out saying by being quote unquote submissive in the bedroom, but I actually want you to think of it not as that, because there's such a negative connotation with that word. Mm-hmm. It means like there's some omnipresent power over you all the time. And that is not the case. Not when you are a woman. If you're just being a good girl, you're still a child. Yes, there is some sort of power over you, but you need to break free of that thinking and realize this is a partnership with my husband. And what I'm doing is providing him emotional warmth and psychological safety. You're protecting his manlihood.
Mm-hmm. It's acceptance.
It is acceptance for who he is at a deep, deep level. It's right. Beautiful.
It is. And when you think about what we talked about with your grandpa, that whole thing that he has been raised still in a society that has suggested and continues to suggest to a certain extent that he has a certain responsibility. And as things are shifting, he's still been indoctrinated in that. He still has to shift his thinking with
totally.
You. And that all takes time. So I took a course quite a few years ago, and I just want to mention it because, and I can't even tell you the name, so I'm not giving a plug for the course, mm-hmm. but it was about your erotic language? Like, what speaks to you? And what I loved about this course is it was saying that, you know, you need to awaken to who you are, to what you need, to what turns you on, and then figure out what the edges are for you and bring that into your life, specifically in the bedroom, whether you're with a man, a woman, it doesn't matter. Because that is an important part of what gets your motor running.
Right. And in fact, it's so funny. That is the one area in the bedroom is the one area that I call it sexual healing, because I've stepped out of that structure, that power structure that I was taught as a kid, that I have to be the one to cook, clean, have babies, blah, blah.
Right. Yes.
I feel very much as an equal or at a partnership, but role-playing wise in the bedroom, I certainly sometimes will play and will give my partner, you know, the man in my life, the right to be more dominant. And it's a lot of fun for both of us.
Well, and that's it's very interesting, because so many of us have been taught to don't lose control, like really stay in that control position. And you cannot be in the control spot and be receptive.
Right.
You can be receptive to a certain extent, but you're not going to really receive. So opening up to fully and completely receive will make a huge difference in your world. So I love this. Okay. So how about in regards to kids?
Yeah. Okay. So with your kids, so what I love about children is they're just little sponges. So much of it comes down to simply mentoring. So the more you work on yourself and the more you are fully expressed, they're going to naturally fall into it. But I think it's important to remember that we need to teach all genders of children that they have full agency over their bodies. Like I'm a huge advocate for owning and operating your own body, which includes your own beliefs, your own thoughts, your own actions, your own words. Like, you take personal responsibility. I would say don't get too stressed about what's appropriate to do or say at each age, because if you're coming across in a real anxious manner, I don't think you're going to do any good with what you're doing or telling them anyway.
Right.
But modeling, again, is the best teacher. You be a woman, not a good girl who blindly follows authoritative figures who have had unchecked power for centuries. You operate with conscious awareness from your true self, and your children will learn to do the same.
Right.
I think if you do that, the girls will keep their joyful, powerful, and yes, even sensual natures. And if you do that, the boys will keep their joyful, powerful, and commanding natures.
Nice. And then, I mean, when they come to you because something has happened at school or whatever that goes against all of this, I mean, you've been teaching them to really believe in themselves and stand in their power and feel good about who they are. And somebody says something, maybe it's a minister at church or wherever, it doesn't matter. That can wash off them more easily, because now they know they can come to you, they can talk about it, right? And ask those questions or tell you how it felt for them or why they didn't like it. But it kind of washes off them. You know, we talk about having thick skin. It's not really about having thick skin as much as it is allowing it to just whoosh, sail on by.
They have a solid foundation. And what's really great is not only do they come to you, but then they're like, hey, my friend so-and-so would like to ask you. I'm noticing that they're friends now also.
Yeah, because you're safe, right? Mm-hmm. You're a safe person to talk to about it. Right. I love that. And I think that this is a huge part of why women are now rising up, because we have this sense of right and wrong, right? From the beginning, we've had this strong sense, like you said, with your grandparents, that this doesn't feel good to me. But now we're starting to feel that there are people out there we can talk to, that, you know, if something doesn't feel good, we can take it further than just burying it and going, okay, I have to do this because that's what mom is telling me I have to do, or dad is telling me I have to do. So
exactly. It takes those brave warriors at first, and then it becomes more and more familiar. And before long, we have changed the world.
Absolutely. So I see we're almost out of time. I hate that this time goes so fast. I could talk to you forever.
Time is on warp speed with you.
It is. Just the way things go. So I want to ask you about the small steps women can take right now, which some of it you've already shared, but steps they can take right now to start making changes. But before we do, I want to give people information on how they can find you, because I think we're going to run out of time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Tammy can help you with all the stuff that we're talking about here and all of these shows. So to find out more about Tammy, you go to tammyleitzel.com, which is TammyLeitzel.com or ZEL, depending what country you're in. I'm in a new one now. They say it differently. So yeah, but that website is also up on my blog that is attached to this show. And you can join her complimentary Wow Factor Challenge at wowfactorchallenge.com, where she shares the three things that you must know about body ownership. So Tammy, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show again and sharing such wonderful information. I think it's important for women now to be, you know, talking about these things and then walking our talk and loving ourselves throughout it all. And now I want to give the floor back to you for the last about minute to just share a little bit about a step or a final nugget, whatever you choose.
Okay. Well, I want to just plead with women to please recognize that nearly all of us have been feeling unloved and have internalized second-class status. Whether we've admitted it to ourselves or not, we've been mocked for our reactions, scolded for having emotions, and criticized for anything inherently feminine. You must see this wound in order to fix it. And what I'm really want to ask is that you challenge centuries-old assumptions that women are less than, because we certainly are not. It's important that you reclaim your true self, your playful, powerful, passionate, and purposeful self, what I call your femessence, and that is your sensual nature. It will be your guidepost to your true self.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Goosebumps again. Oh, I love that. Angel hugs. Oh, thank you once again, Tammy. And of course, a big thank you to our listeners. I love and appreciate you all. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Tammy Leitzel, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.